Oh, bless your name, God. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Oh, my. Woo. Somebody, I heard somebody shout glory. Somebody shout glory. Now say it like you mean it this time. Shout glory. Now say it like you trying to make the devil mad. Say glory. Amen. Amen. I want to be where the Lord is. Amen. And I'm so excited to see those nine beautiful people give their life to the Lord. Amen. Because that is to say emphatically, I want to be where the Lord is. And here's the promise that the Lord gives to everybody who commits to him, that he won't leave you nor forsake you. So it does not matter if you feel the Lord or not. He said he's right there with you. And it does not matter what season of life you find yourself in. The Lord won't give up on you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we've continued our series on Extreme Makeover. And as I pondered this week, and sometimes as you pray, you have to be okay where the Lord leads you. Can I say that one more time? That as we pray to God, that we don't dictate to God what we want him to do for us. But we have to be okay with what he wants to do through us. Amen? And so sometimes we have to kind of get ourselves off of our high horse and come down a little bit and be obedient to the Lord. And so as we talked last week, we talked about this press, P-R-E-S-S. We talked about prepare, reach, exalt, serve, and socialize. That's who we will be as a church. We want to be about helping people grow in their faith. That's what we talk about, preparation, making disciples. We want to reach people. We want to tell people about Jesus wherever we go. Amen? But when we talk about exalting, we're talking about worship. That's about how we honor God with our lifestyle, not just on Sunday mornings, but every day. Every day we ought to be worshiping God in our actions, not just in our words. Okay, don't leave me by myself. We got some Christians that can talk a good game, but their lifestyle is just toe up from the flow up. Can we say toe up? I like what you said, raggedy. Don't be calling folks raggedy. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. But then also, as a church, we want to commit to serving people because that's how we make known who God is, by how we serve people. Because again, he calls us to be light in the world, that we're supposed to be salt upon the earth. And we don't just do that with our words, but we also do that with our actions. But then also we talk about, as a church, we want to socialize. We want to make sure that we have great fellowship. Amen? We want to be able to fellowship with one another, not because we just like each other, but because we love the Lord and we are able to love one another. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brothers, we're going to get to the offering in just a minute. Y'all can have a seat. Thank you. So we want to continue understanding that although those are things that we would do as a church, I think the one thing we need to make sure we also are about is that we're giving God the glory. Are y'all tracking with me? Our job is to not steal the glory or steal the shine from God, but everything we do, the way we live our life, is to showcase and show off the glory of God. Amen. Say it with me. We're supposed to show off the glory of God. You know, now, don't get it twisted. Now, we know how to show off. Okay, y'all left me by myself. I don't think we have a problem showing off. But I think sometimes we confuse what it is that we're supposed to be showing off. And as followers of Jesus Christ, our job is to show off his glory. Because the life that we live now is not because we've done all the right things, but because we made the right decision. And because we made the right decision to follow Jesus, our job is to show him off to everybody. Amen? And as I said before, and I say again, it's not about what we say all the time, but a lot of times it's about what we do. Amen? I remember a story of a man who was a very religious brother. He loved the Lord, and he wanted to show how much he loved the Lord. And he had this horse, and he wanted to train this horse to be just as religious. And so what he decided to do, he says, I'm going to teach this horse two commands so that he can be very religious. I'm going to teach him to go on praise the Lord, and I'm going to make him stop with hallelujah. And he trained that horse, and the horse began to follow his commands, and he would shout, hallelujah, that horse would stop. He would say, praise the Lord, that horse would take off. And then one day, this horse got spooked, and he lost control of the horse. And this brother who had been so religious could not think of the words to say to make him stop. He was saying, thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless his name, and amen. Oh, have your way, Lord. And nothing would make the horse stop. And then all of a sudden, it hit him as he approached the precipice of a cliff. He says, hallelujah, and that horse stopped on a dime. And he said, woo, praise the Lord. Somebody got to explain that to somebody on the way out the door. Because in reality, many people have relegated their spiritual life to just uttering words. And they would appear to be very religious. But as you've heard me say in John chapter 15, verse 14, Jesus says, you are my friends, not by just what you say, but because you obey my commands. And it's easy to say, yes, I'm down with you, Jesus, until he expects us to do something. And the way we show off the glory of God is by our obedience to who he is and what he has told us to do. Amen? And the beautiful thing is when we come up short, the beautiful thing is his grace is sufficient. So it's not so much about how we perform, but first we got to get that right with him, and then the performing he helps us with on the way because he gives us his spirit. So let us go to God in prayer. And as we pray, I want you to ask the Lord to examine your heart. In what areas of your life have you not been showing off the glory of God? And just put that before the Lord and ask him to forgive you. So make this very private, make it very personal. As we pray, just talk to him. Make this about you and him. Have him to expose what's in you. If it's not like him, ask him to show it to you. God, we thank you for how you loved us in spite of our many failures. God, you've given us an opportunity, God, to first of all become followers of you, and not just in our words, but in our action. God, we don't want to be so sanctimonious, God, to think that, God, we've always said the right things, we've always done the right things. But, God, in this moment right now, we repent, God. God, we ask for you to forgive us, God, when we have failed you. God, thank you, God, for loving us and extending grace and mercy to us. God, you did not destroy us when we failed you, and, God, we are thankful for that. So, Father, I pray that as a church, we make it a priority, God, to show off your glory to a dying world. God, if there's any area that we've been reserved to turn over to you, God, we do that right now, God, because we want you to penetrate and saturate every aspect of our life. So, Father, I pray is that you would speak to our hearts, and, God, through the text, God, may we be made better people having heard from you, Lord. So, God, we fully expect to hear from you, Lord. God, I am just simply your mouthpiece, God. Would you speak through me, Lord? Hide me behind the cross, God, that none of me is seen, God, but all of thee is made known. God, may we as a church show off your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Write down Jude verses 24 and 25. This is one of my favorite passages, and y'all probably have heard me say that many times over, favorite passages. But it just depends on a different day or a different season. That word just gets better each time you read it. But this is a doxology. This is a word of praise, so to speak. And it simply says this: now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, and I love this, and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory. Everybody say glory. Be glory. Say it one more time. Glory. And majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. Amen. When we hear the word glory, what images come to mind?
Is it some kind of image? Is it some kind of vision? What is it that comes to mind when you think about glory? I'm going to give you a couple ideas on when we hear the word glory. First of all, in the Greek, it's the word doxa. Everybody say doxa. It simply means praise. When we talk about give God glory, it's to say give God praise. Well, why should we give God praise? Well, let me tell you the truth. He has done too much for us to even count. Okay, let me say it like this. When we think about giving someone praise, it's in a sense saying that they are worthy of something. When we say that we want to praise someone, we're saying we're expressing our appreciation, our gratitude for who that person is and what that person has done. So every now and then, as a husband, I have to give some glory to my wife. Okay, y'all left me by myself. Every now and then, I'm supposed to give her some praise for who she is and also what she does. But let me never confuse that I'm supposed to only just praise her for just what she does. Oh, my. But because I understand who she is, because who she is causes her to do what she does. So when we praise God, we don't just praise God for what he does. We praise God for who he is. And because of who he is, he does what he do. Okay, let me say it like this. There's a sense that in Christianity that we sometimes treat the Lord like Santa Claus. We only want to say something to him and appreciate him because he does something for us. The problem with that theology is that if God doesn't do what we ask for, we get in kind of a funky mood, right? You ain't got to say amen. It's just like a kid who's been spoiled. They've been so used to asking God for everything, and they get everything, and when they don't get something, they throw a fit, right? But the idea is that when we understand who God is a good God, and it doesn't matter if he does anything else. He's already done more than enough. The fact that we are up this morning in our right mind with the activities of our limb, with our reasonable portion of health, that is more than enough. Some of us got cars to drive, houses to live in. God has done more than enough. And if he doesn't do anything else, it does not take away from his goodness. Even when we go through hard times does not take away from God's goodness. God's goodness is not dependent upon us. His goodness is dependent upon who he is. He is a good God. Everybody say good God. And so glory, giving God glory is a practice. Everybody say it's a practice. But then also, glory is about a person. Write this definition down for glory. Glory is God's moral beauty and perfection as a visible presence. Let me say that one more time. When we talk about God's glory is his moral beauty and perfection as a visible presence. So when we talk about, as my wife was singing, show me your glory, I want to see your glory, it's about who God has manifested himself to be in times. Well, really, in any time, because she referenced how Moses prayed. He says, God, show me your glory. He says, God, show me your glory. In a sense, he's saying, God, show me who you really are. Ah, and when God shows us who he really is, it shows us who we really not. So when Isaiah had prayed and he was standing before God, he didn't say, wow, look at me. Ain't I awesome? But he stood before the Lord and he looked at the Lord and he looked at himself. He says, woe is me, for I am undone. So when we say, God, show me your glory, you got to be very careful of saying, God, show me your glory, because he will expose who you really are. You see, we can pretend very well that we are blessed and highly flavored in the Lord. Some of y'all didn't catch that. We can wear these masks very well, but as I said with the youth once before, we got to be like Future. We got to take our mask off when we come. And if we don't take our mask off before the Lord, guess what he'll do? He'll snatch it off. Oh, my. Because we can pretend and fake everybody else out. But the Lord knows how to expose us for who we really are. Oh, my gosh. And so he says, God, show me your glory, because he understood that God's glory is powerful and beautiful all at the same time. Because if you know the story, Moses had gone up to the mountain. He had spent 40 days without food, 40 days without water. And some has suggested that what kept him in those 40 days? And the Bible gives us this notion that it was God's glory that sustained him. How do we know this? The Bible says that when he came down from the mountain, he had been before the Lord, and he was so shiny. They said, man, you too shiny. He had to cover his face because he had been before the glory of the Lord, and the glory of the Lord was emanated from who he is. And see, the idea of believers, when we spend time with the Lord, we don't stay the same, but we are being transformed from glory to glory. So you can discern pretty quickly about who's been before the Lord and who's not been before the Lord. Oh my gosh. The ones that are dull. Better run. But if it's something about their personality, if it's something about their spirit that just glows, then they've been with the Lord. Don't point at anybody, please. Don't point at him. But the idea was that he was before God's glory, and the glory of God changed him. Write down 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. This is what Paul tells the church at Corinth. This is what he says. And we all, which is an unveiled face, are beholding the glory of the Lord. And watch this. Are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. This is maturation, meaning that once you experience the Lord, you don't stay at the same level. That means there must be a progression. So if the same level of Jesus you had when you first got saved is still being present right now, then that means you just ain't really been with the Lord. Amen, somebody. So it must be a progression, meaning that we're supposed to mature in our faith, going from glory to glory. Not our own glory, because understand something. The glory that we reveal is not ours. We are only reflecting God's glory to a world that doesn't know the Lord. Oh, my gosh. And so there must be a certain shine about us. Everybody say shine. So we were made, everybody write this down, we were made to show off God's glory. Even Jesus understood this, that he wasn't about his own business, but he was about his Father's business. Write down John chapter 5, verse 19. John chapter 5, verse 19. This is what he says. He says that he only does what he sees the Father doing. This is Jesus saying this. So what are you doing? What are you doing? Because we have to make sure that we're not just trying to do our own agenda, but that we're aligning our will with his will. But he didn't stop with that. He didn't just say, I'm only doing what I see the Father doing. But peep game on this. Look at John chapter 12, verse 49. This is what he says. Not only am I doing what I see the Lord doing, but I only say what he gives me to say. Oh my gosh. He says, I don't speak on my own authority, but I speak what the Lord commands me to speak. Some of us talk too much. You don't even have to say amen right there. And if you say amen too loud, somebody gonna get offended. Because what Jesus understood is that if I trust in my own flesh, if I trust in my own self, I have the potential to offend somebody. But if I speak what the Lord gives me, he gives me words that are life-giving, not life-taking. And we have way too many people in this world that speak words that take life than rather than give life. Amen? And I believe as believers in Jesus Christ, we ought to be able to speak words that give life. That whatever environment we walk into, that we ought to speak, and there's life being given because we have heard from the Lord. Operative word, you have heard from the Lord, and then you speak what the Lord gives you. Don't open your mouth talking about what thus says the Lord if you haven't spent time with him. Oh, mercy. But often when we think about showing off the glory of God, there are some things in this life that affects the glory of God, called life. That affliction and hard times has a way of causing us to shrink back. Give you an example. John Piper says like this. He says, you can tell a lot about something when you put it in hot water. He says, you can put a carrot in hot water, and guess what happens? It becomes all soft. He says, you can put a board, an egg in the water, and it becomes hard. He says, you can also put coffee bean in the water, and it changes things. He says, that describes a lot of people in this world. He says, sometimes you have some people who go through hard times, and it's like they like the carrot. They get all soft. I'm just going through, y'all. Just, y'all pray for me. It's hard out there being a Christian because they've allowed life to beat them down. But then on the other hand, you have some people that's like that egg. They get all hard. Don't talk to me. I'm going through right now. No, you can't even pray for me right now. It's too hard. It's too hard. They won't show up for prayer. Because they become so hardened by life. But he says, but there are some folks that's like the coffee bean. He says, you put that coffee bean in hot water, it's not affected by the water, but rather it affects the water. Because that's what you have coffee for. Amen. And we need people who are not going to allow the heat of life to dictate how they live their life. But rather you've experienced life, and yet you're still not ashamed to give God the glory. And I'm going to tell you, a brother who's very intimately aware of hard times is this dude named Paul. Oh, my gosh. This brother, in Acts chapter 9, the Lord even said, I'm going to tell this brother how hard it's going to be. I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, it's like some things like, okay, geez, you can kind of keep that one to you. Just let that one surprise me, right? Oh, okay, y'all didn't catch that. Okay. If the Lord came to you today and says, I'm going to use you, but you're going to have hard times being used. Here's the sign-up sheet right here. I don't see a whole lot of people running up to sign up for hard times. But Paul heard that God was going to use him, but he also told him that you're going to experience hard times as well. So Paul was intimately aware of hard times. And we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. As he begins to express what hard times do about expressing God's glory. So if you have your Bibles, open with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses, we're going to go down to verse 15. As you're opening your Bibles or turning your Bible app, your phones and or your tablets, I want you to be thinking about Romans chapter 8 as also a way for Paul expressing how hard times have shaped his theology. Romans chapter 8, he expresses that his hard times have also showed him that he is able to not only suffer with Christ, but also be glorified with Christ. Because when we go through hard times, it is not just for that to be the end of us. I want y'all to catch that. So when we have difficulties, that doesn't mean that God is trying to end us, but he's trying to evolve us, okay? So we're moving from one place of glory to the next. But he also explains this about affliction, that it has a purpose, that it is about revealing God's glory. When you look at Romans chapter 8, verses 18 and 19, he talks about the glory will be revealed at a later time, having gone through different trials and tribulations. But I love this part of it. He says, but also the trials also helps to reveal the sons of God to an eagerly waiting society. So the world is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. And he says, and the way they're revealed is how they endure hard times. Oh, my gosh. Okay. When we're able to endure hard times as believers, that is a great testimony of who God is. Because he's not just a God who saves us, but he's the God who can sustain us in every situation of life. So we don't go through hard times complaining and griping and throwing in the towel, but rather we lift up our holy hands and say, God, I thank you for your ability to keep me and sustain me through every season of life. And then when people look at us, they say, how are you able to make it when you're going through so many hard times? And we can say, it was nobody but the Lord that kept me, and it's by his mercies that I'm not consumed. I'm so grateful that His strength is made perfect in my weakness. It's not about me, but it's all about who God is and what He's doing through me. And so I don't shrink, but rather I stand tall and with my hands lifted and say, God, thank you for your keeping power because you're able. Everybody say, He's able. So when we go through hard times, it becomes a great testimony to an eagerly waiting world that needs some kind of hope. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? There's a world that is hopeless, and they're looking for anything to give them some kind of hope, some kind of peace. And what we're saying by enduring hard times is I know where the hope lies. It's in the Lord. Everybody say, it's in the Lord. And so one thing I would love about Jesus that he also had hard times. See, he's not just a savior who says, I want you to go through hard times, and I'm not. Because he tells us that we were going to experience hard times. Because he says, a master or a teacher, a student is not above his master. So if Jesus went through hard times, scoot up. We ain't exempt from it either. So if Jesus had to endure beatings, whippings, crucifixion, who are we to complain about our light afflictions? I'm hungry today. I'm going through, y'all. I got this bill today. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's the Lord is sending me through some hard times. My child don't want to speak to me. And we have all these light afflictions that we complain about. And if our Savior endured the greatest suffering, then we can endure some light affliction every now and then without complaining. I'm just saying, stop getting, no, I'm not going to say that. Stop being weak. I'm sorry. Ooh, I got a splinter, y'all. It's rough today. I mean, just some weak folk. I'm sorry. Let me get back to what I'm talking about. Don't be a cat. Everybody say, I'm a coffee bean. Amen. We want to change the atmosphere. We want to change people's perception of who God is. I mean, think about what greater witness that is to be able to change people's mind about who the Lord is than enduring hard times. It's easy to be the greatest saint when things are going well. We think we got it going on when everything is well. But let some trouble come. You find out who really got some faith. Let them drop in some hot water. You'll find out. And so anyway, so we are made to show off. Our job is to show off the glory of God. So let's look at verse 7. And then we'll be done. I got a couple points, and we'll raise up on out of here. Verse 7, he says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. Watch this. To show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. You may need to underline that, highlight that, put a pin on it or something. I'm going to say that one more time. He says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to ourselves. Then verse 8, he says, we are, and I love this, afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Look at verse 11. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal bodies. So he reveals a couple things. He calls us clay jars. Everybody say clay jars. There's two things that you need to know about clay jars. First of all, they were not very valuable. They were very indispensable. I mean, you can break it and be done with it and move on to the next thing. People, you know how some people hold on to stuff so much that even when it breaks, come on now. We'll figure out a way to keep it. I mean, we'll go online and Google. ways to fix stuff, to hold on to it. Even if it, even when all hope says, give it up. Somebody say, somebody said, that was me, you talking about me. But these clay jars were not valuable so much that they tried to keep them and save them and preserve them because they were very common, they were not very important, they were very fragile, they can be easily broken. And he says, he compares us to that clay jar. He says, there's really nothing all that special about us. He says, we're very fragile, amen. Let a little life hit us, we'll fall apart, praise the Lord. But the beautiful thing is, because we have something in us, that's what makes us valuable. Because not only is a clay jar not valuable, but it's designed to hold something. A clay jar wouldn't be worth anything if it didn't hold something. Whether it's a jar of oil, if it's water, it was designed to hold something. Our lives are designed to hold something. And it's not what we think we're supposed to be holding on to. Because sometimes we can spend our entire life trying to fill ourselves with stuff to make us feel fulfilled. Okay, y'all left me by myself. We can search through this entire world trying to find things to make us feel satisfied and feel like we're worth something. And here's the end result. We still feel like nothing. But once we get a hold of the eternal, once we have the Lord on the inside of us, he gives us satisfaction, he gives us peace, he gives us joy, and nothing can take away from that. And he says, and you have this treasure, the gospel of Jesus Christ, on the inside of you. Yes, you're fragile, can easily fall apart. So he says, you have it on the inside of you, and that's what makes you special. Not because you're beautiful, not because you're wonderful, not because you have an awesome personality, but because the Lord is on the inside of you. And I love even Paul, in some translation, it says that it's not just a regular kind of jar, it's a cracked jar. Oh, my gosh. So in a sense, he says this treasure on the inside of you is able to be seen even in the cracks of your life. Oh, my gosh. Because life has a way of cracking us. Amen, somebody. And he says that even in our cracked up selves, it's able to reveal the glory of God. So look at this. So although we have this treasure, we are not protected from life. You may want to tweet that. Let me say that one more time. Although we have this treasure, we are not protected from life. Because we think that because we have Jesus, that protects us. I mean, think about it. I think some people think about Jesus like playing hide and seek. Like, okay, I've been running. But as soon as I get to base, you can't touch me. And see, people think Jesus like that base. You can't touch me. But here's the thing. Just because you have Jesus, that does not protect you from hard times. Tell your neighbor, get ready. It's going to keep coming. Write down Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. Some of you have all heard me quote this, but it gives us this picture that Christ created all things. And through all things, he created them. But then also, he's able to hold all things together. God made you, and he has the power to hold you together. So don't worry so much about trying to hold yourself together. Trust that the Lord is able to hold you together. Amen? So don't trip when life happens. Everybody say, don't trip. No, tell your other neighbor, they ain't believe you. Don't trip. All right, tell the person behind you because they didn't believe you. Don't trip. Hang on in there. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Everybody say, it's going to be all right. So the first thing is that we have this treasure on the inside of us. All right? That's what makes us special. But then the second thing is, we have hope. Everybody say hope. Look at verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12. He says, so death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what have been written, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak. Verse 14, knowing that we that he who raised us, the Lord Jesus, will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Woo, Jesus, thank you. Verse 15, for it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So here's a picture here. The hope that we have is that the same power that raised Jesus up has the same power to raise us up. One of my favorite songs, Travis Green. No, I'm not going to sing the song. Simply says, he got up so I can get up again. Because life can knock us down. Amen, somebody. And the only reason I'm able to get back up is not because I have the strength to get myself back up, Vincent, but the idea is that I can get up because the power of Christ works in me. And so when life knocks me down, I don't have to stay down. I think we have too many people that know how to stay down but don't know how to trust the power of God to get you back up. It's kind of like, have you ever seen those little rock'em sock'em little bounce things? You punch it, and it comes back. You punch it, and it comes back. And that's the kind of power that we have working in us, that when life punches us, boom, we come back. Because we have that bounce back effect because of Jesus on the inside of us. Because and what many people don't know is like a little weight on the inside of that that keeps it from staying down, because we have that same kind of weight on the inside of us. It's the weight of God's glory that says when you get knocked down, you can bounce back up, because the weight of God's glory has the power to keep you in place and not be destroyed. Oh my gosh. He says, so when you experience the hard times, you will not be destroyed. So look at this, and I want you to go back to verse number seven. Look what he says. So he's pointing back. He says this bounce back effect is because of this. He says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show, everybody say to show, that the surpassing power belongs to God and not ourselves. So this bounce back is all because of who he is and not who we are. Because we don't have any power to get ourselves up, but we have the power of Christ on the inside of us to show to everybody else. So when they say, how you got your bounce back, it says, because I got Jesus on the inside of me. Yeah, I got knocked down, but I didn't stay down. Oh, I've been hard-pressed on every side, but guess what? I ain't destroyed. I've been persecuted, but I'm not in despair. That's what he goes on to say. He says, the only reason you're able to endure this life is because of the surpassing power of Jesus Christ in your life. So when we endure, it shows off God's glory. And that's what we were made for. Everybody say, to show off his glory. So don't allow your hope to be built up in anything else. Because I've learned that some people put their hope in what they can see. I put my hope in my job. I put my hope in my spouse. I put my hope in my partner. I put my hope in my car. Some people put more hope and trust in a chair than they do with Jesus. And when we put our hope in anything else, everything else is going to keep us wanting more. But Jesus, when we put our hope in him, he gives us all the hope we need in this life and beyond. And as we pray, I want you to begin to examine again in your own life. What have you been putting your hope in? Has it been the relationships? Has it been in jobs and resources? Is it something that you can see that you put your hope in? And God's saying, I need you to put your hope in the unseen. And then you can make me seen to everybody else. And that's crazy. I mean, when you think about it, we put our hope in the unseen to make him seen by everybody else. And that's the glory of God that sustains us. Just like Moses can fast for 40 days, and show the glory of God, we can endure in order to show the glory of God. Why? Because his glory sustains us. His glory keeps us. His glory strengthens us, because he is his own glory. Mercy. As we pray, as you bow with me, ask the Lord to expose what you put your hope in. For some, they've put their hope even in their own education and their ability to acquire wealth. Jesus says this to his disciples. He says, if you're not willing to let go of everything, you cannot be my disciple. And today I want you to commit to letting go of everything to be the Lord's disciple. Trust his plan more than your own. God, would you expose us? God, what have we put our hope in? God, we've been guilty of trusting more in the resources than trusting in the source. God, you are the source of all things. And God, and the beautiful thing about it, you call us to be in relationship with you, Lord. And because of that, God, our lives are completely and forever changed. God, thank you. God, forgive us, God, when we've put our hope, God, in tangible things, God. Lord, today we commit to putting our hope and our trust in things we cannot even see. You says, without faith, it's impossible to please you. So, Father, we put our hope in you, Lord. So, Father, our prayer is that if there's anyone here today, Lord, that has not put their hope and trust in you, God, would you speak to their hearts right now? God, may they not leave this place empty, but God, may they leave this place filled. God, they're just, like we talked about, they're just a clay jar, Lord. They're in need of filling. God, they were designed to be filled with something. God, our prayer today is that they will be filled with your presence today, Lord. God, would you do it, Lord? And if you're here today and you're saying, that's me, preacher, I'm in need of being filled with the Lord. I need to make a commitment today to follow the Lord, to give my life to him. If that's you, if the Lord is speaking to your heart right now, you're saying, I need to give my life to Christ, would you just raise your hand right where you are? Thank you. Or if you're, thank you, I see your hand. If you're here and you're saying, I've already given my life to the Lord, but I've also drifted from the Lord. I've tried to carve my own path. I tried to live life on my own terms. And you're saying, I need to rededicate my life to the Lord. I need to recommit to him. If that's you, if the Lord is speaking to your heart and you're saying, I need to rededicate my life to the Lord today. I want to get this right. I don't want to miss this moment. Would you raise your hand? Thank you. Church, we're praying. We're interceding for those hands that are raised that said, I want to give my life to the Lord. I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. Let's pray for them that they would experience the Lord right now. And then lastly, maybe you've made a commitment to the Lord. You're living out in your faith, but you're just not connected to a church family. And you said, I need to be a part of a church family that's going to love me, that's going to disciple me, that's going to help me grow in my faith so I can be that kind of light, so I can show off the glory of God. If the Lord is speaking to you, you're saying, hey, I need to be a part of a church home, would you raise your hand? Amen. I see your hands. Thank you, Lord, for the hands that were raised. God, you made each and every one that raised their hand. God, you love them just the way they are. But yet, God, you have a plan for them to use them to make yourself known to all parts of this globe. So, Father, would you honor the fact that they raised their hands today, Lord, to commit to being a follower of you,
or to commit to being a part of what you're doing in the local church. God, we realize that we, the people, we're the church. We realize, God, that we have responsibility to one another, to help each other grow in our faith, to sharpen one another, to equip one another. And scripture goes on to say, God, that sometimes we got to rebuke one another. But Lord, it's all for the purpose of showing off your glory, God. That is why you have your church, to make your name known, to send as many people into the world, to tell every person they come into contact with who the Lord is and what the Lord has done in their life. So, Father, we celebrate with those who raise their hands today. God, we know that you're stirring something in their hearts and in their minds, Lord. And God, you're already speaking to their hearts and letting them know, God, that you have a plan for them. So, God, I pray that you would use them in a major way, God. God, we want to celebrate with them. God, we thank you for the hands that were raised. And God, we look forward to hearing their story. And God, we look forward to how their story is going to continue to unfold for your glory, God. In the meantime, use them right where they are. Be perfectly near them. In Jesus' name. And every heart said, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for the hands that are raised.